Every time, 100% of the time, 50% of
the time. It works 40% of the time, 100% of the time. All right. All right, welcome to our second podcast of Love Like Jesus. And we're talking about, hopefully, three different sections of Love Like Jesus in this one. And this one is around loving like Christ in the everyday life.
Right.
So it'll be less, it might be focused so much on like your wife or your kids, that kind of thing. So the first one, the first segment is leading with love and family dynamics. Mm. And so balancing of various roles and responsibilities in a family can be challenging, often lead to stress and discord.
Yes. Now, I only experience the family aspect with my wife, and I'm sure you can attest to having kids and that, but I think it, for me, I've had to balance this idea of, you know, loving my wife, but also being the leader, and kind of balancing those two personalities and those two identities of, like, I love my wife, but I need to make sure that, you know, we're leading, I'm leading her in, you know, a Bible-focused way and that kind of stuff, and where that line kind of like meets in the middle. So I think it's the balancing act. And then you can touch on the fact that being a father and what that looks like of guiding children while loving them, but also being that guiding hand of like, hey,
sure.
Yeah, don't stick your hand in the fire, child, you know, that kind of thing. That balancing act can be very exhausting as a man.
I don't want to start none, but I used to have hair. And if you're watching this podcast, you might would refer to me as aerodynamic. So, yes, and I think every dad would probably agree with me and say that we may not have been or prepared as we possibly could be, because there are things that happen throughout the course of raising a child or children that you're just unprepared for.
Right.
And there are too many to list, but to focus on change is a coming. Transitions from babies to toddlers, adolescents, puberty, teens, braces, first driving, college, marriage, empty nest. I mean, it is a roller coaster. And oh, by the way, I'm working on my marriage, my walk with Christ, my job, making friends, all the things that maybe you kind of felt like in college, that how am I supposed to do all that in homework and eat tacos?
Oh, how I wish I had the days of homework. There was someone checking me out at the store recently, and it was near the evening time, and I said, oh, almost done for the day, and they were like, oh, yeah, tomorrow I was here, but then I got homework, and I'm like, if that's the worst you've got going on, I'm over here like, I got kids in the future coming down the pipeline, I gotta make sure I've got enough money for that. What about a house? What about a 401k? What about my health? What about my wife's health? Like, when the worst thing you got is a test coming up next Tuesday, oh, how I wish I had that back again.
And when a dad tells a younger person, these are the easy days, that child says, you don't know anything about my life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, always in those moments, it feels like the earth-shattering math test is coming next Tuesday, you know. But, yeah, it's hard.
I'm not trying to downplay it, just that it's, this is an experienced person that hopefully is not, you know, like, really bad at communication, but
being mean about it,
right? Yeah, this is a person that is talking about what they know from where they are right now,
right?
Compared to what you have, it's kind of like
love and compassion,
right? I can't get these Legos to stand high, I'm freaking out about it. It's like, well, baby, it's not that important. What are you talking about? I can't get all the yellows to be over here, you know. It's big to them, not quite, you know. So, the research indicates that families who prioritize God good communication experience less conflict and more harmony.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that in a family dynamic, and I like it when you use the word dynamic, because control is that illusion. So let's just pretend you have control over yourself. Just pretend that you're around other people.
Yeah.
And you have zero control over that. So those dynamics are all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so I think focusing on some things that we can, that would benefit us, is critical. And loving people like Jesus is another one of those things that, you know, you got to work on your communication and work on loving people. And boy, life's complex.
Yeah. With loving like Christ, I think the most difficult part that I always have is like loving the other person without agenda, without reciprocation, without anything in like, it is, we've talked about in the previous, it's easy to love the lovely, and it's hard to love the
unlovable.
So, you know, make, you know, thank the Lord that he loves us unconditionally.
Oh, like, I was unlovable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, knowing, you know, look at your life, right? I look at all the inner thoughts that go in my mind, all the actions I've taken. Would I love me? Probably not. Mm. But Jesus overlooked all that.
In spite of myself.
Right. And so I think that's a, we can control only so much, but sure, it's definitely that workable thing of like, okay, you know, love them even when it's the most difficult thing.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. And we don't get much in the way of Jesus as a child.
Yeah.
You know, of respecting and loving his mom,
mm-hmm,
and Joseph. And I wish there was a little bit more of that, because kind of the only one you hear of is him lost.
Yeah, at the temple. At the temple, yeah.
Where's Jesus? I thought you had him today. I had a meeting at the well with the goats, right? And so I wish we'd had a little more of that, because I think parents could have pointed to that and said, see here? But there's enough elsewhere for us to point to.
I mean, we love talking about the prodigal son on this podcast. That's a great example of loving the unlovable. I mean, when his son came home and he probably smelled lovely with the pigs and was, you know, dirty, and he ran to him and hugged him and, you know, kissed him, and like, put yourself in that situation. It's like, would you do that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though we don't have Jesus as a child, I think there's a lot of great parables that Jesus talks about that really shows us the grand scheme of what love needs to look like in families, whether it's, you know, actual family like the prodigal son, or even just those around us like the Good Samaritan.
Sure. Just growth as a human.
Yeah.
As a person.
And we always talk about, this is always a muscle you work on, and it's not a, oh, you know what, now loving people that's hard to love is really easy for me now that I've chosen to do that. It takes time and effort, and in some cases, you know, counseling and therapy and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean, practical ways that, you know, lead to love family. I mean, I think that unfortunately we all need those holiday events to work on that.
Yeah.
And I think back to when I was a child, I probably didn't know when I would like walk into a Christmas function that every adult in there was angry at someone else in the room.
Yeah.
And when it's like got older, I'm like, oh, I didn't know you guys didn't talk. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked since 1984. So, okay. So I think working on some practical ways to love family is critical, because those are the ones that we're supposed to love.
Right.
Right. I get it. The further out, extended family, in-laws, friends, distant cousins, that kind of, it gets more and more difficult, because there's distance there.
Yeah.
And there may be distance with your parents. I don't know. I mean, my dad could be, you know, he's a million miles away, sitting in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not really like physical location.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the idea of you can't control how someone else can react, but you can control how you can react in those situations. And so, you know, when it comes to maybe there's a snide comment from them or them being, you know, maybe a little emotionally manipulative or whatever the case may be, protecting yourself first, that, you know, always first, but still loving them in spite of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Christ would say, well, turn the other cheek, give him your cloak as well as your tunic. You know, it's difficult for us to be like Christ in that way because we start to put our guard up.
Right.
And so I think finding some common grounds would be a great way to start loving family more. So our verse in this section is Colossians 3:19.
3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them.
We just said this wasn't going to focus on wives, but well, love your families. Let's kind of include that in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this segment here, I think we would like to encourage you to maybe go see some of the content we offer around communication and family. In marriage, empty nest, all that kind of stuff that might help you as you're going through something, some transition in your relationships with your family.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talk about plenty of, you know, scripture-based input and practical applications in your life. So, you know, we talk a lot about making sure you start with the Bible and prayer and move outward kind of thing. And so all our content's all based on that. So. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it just being our opinions in the cases.
Yeah, sure. We will always focus on trying to point you to Scripture. So as we move into our next segment, we want to thank our sponsors that are stepping up this year and helping us financially as well as even encouraging. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have guys that really go out of their way. They were just telling me recently that we pray for the ministry daily. I made their day when I shared something from them, the situation with that person. And so I say that because if you want to get a little endorphin rush, be happy, why don't you donate to the comment? It seems to make other guys happy. Mm-hmm. And it does pay the bills. And let me just say this, 100% of what is donated goes right back into the ministry. Yeah. 100%. So there's that. And so I want to thank our sponsors. You'll be able to see them in our break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor.
At Sterling Technology Solutions, our mission is to help businesses in North Carolina maximize their profitability and success through our innovative managed IT services. Visit us at sterling-technology.com.
Okay, welcome back to our Love Like Jesus podcast. We're in our second segment. This one is Christ's Love in Building Brotherhood and Community. I think that last one was focused on family. Mm-hmm. I think you and I both have friends that are every bit, if not closer, than family.
Yeah.
And a couple of the guys that are on the board of Uncommon, there's three. Daniel, I've been working with him probably a year after I started my agency. And I did a search for a Christian developer on Google, found him, didn't call anyone else. And we have been close and working together from a business and personal section for over 16 years. And he's on the board of Uncommon. I'm very, very thankful for his input and support. Lou and Jerry were fans of Uncommon who became raving fans of Uncommon. Lou is in Iowa. Jerry is in California. We have never met in person. Daniel and I have met in person, but we've seen him a couple times. But Lou and Jerry and I, we text frequently through the week. We always share a scripture or something on a Sunday with each other. And it's funny to say that, you know, some of my best friends I've ever met in person. And so those people are closer than a lot of people in my family. And that's not a slam on family, but, you know, we moved from, we were born and raised in New Orleans. If you can see this podcast, you see my sweet, sweet New Orleans flavored shirt. But you move away from family, it tends to get a little bit of a distance. And yeah. What used to be gathering for dinners, maybe be just like an email or a call. So building a brotherhood and community, that's what this segment's about.
Yeah, we mentioned and we talk about it a lot because it's so, so vital for your walk in Christ of building in a, you know, a ring of guys around you that you can lean on in hard times when, you know, you need encouragement, challenging. You know, Jesus could have easily done his whole thing without a single other person next to him, but he chose to have the disciples next to him every step of the way.
Right. He didn't have to come to earth to save sin.
Yeah. So,
you know, pay for sin.
Having, you know, confidants and encouragement is, you know, a bare minimum. And I think that I always look to, I love the idioms that we've looked over the years and how wrong they are, but about, you know, blood's thicker than water refers to blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. Talking about the strength of relationships that we choose to make over our life rather than family members. And, you know, there are plenty of guys in my Bible study that I lean on quite often about reaching out. We just phone call or text and just say, hey, man, you know, you got a second to talk, or, you know, offering that to them, because the real secret to really having, you know, meaningful relationship with other guys is to have a two-way street of communication. Sure. Offering the, you know, opportunity for them to come to you and then vice versa. So, and that can be hard. You know, we talk a lot about vulnerability on this podcast and the difficulty behind that. Yeah. But, you know, the fastest way to create friendship is to show vulnerability.
Yeah, because you associate, it's like giving your testimony, right? You showcase or you talk about some areas that you're not a superstar in.
Yeah.
There's enough things that we kind of brag about that we are not truthful about.
Mm.
Being vulnerable and or just good communication with someone else, like a mentor, or you're mentoring someone, it's a great thing when it's a two-way communication. When it's a one-way street, it's not good for the other person. Yeah. If you're just constantly dumping on this person, you call him up, you say, hey, what's going on? He says, fine. And then you just launch into your dysfunction for the next hour.
Right.
And then say, well, I got to go. Thanks, man, for listening. That's not beneficial to them in the slightest. It won't always, you know, it can be that way sometimes.
Yeah.
When you get off your chest. But a two-way communication is much, much more beneficial.
Yeah.
Creating a Christ-centered support system. So we touched briefly just now on mentorship. I'm a big believer in having someone in front of you, like a little older than you, mm-hmm. and someone a bit younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
The older gentleman has experienced things that I have not yet, and then I have experienced things that that person younger than me has not mm-hmm. yet. And so I think it's important to have both of those. I know I love the relationships I have with some of the older gentlemen in my small group.
Yeah.
And we get together for dinner often, and, you know, just hearing the things that they've gone through, and I'm like, okay, that's me. That's me. How did you get through that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Prayer. That sounds really hard.
Yeah, it sounds hard. I thought you might say, like, you know, Jack Daniel or something like that, but you said prayer. Okay. So I think finding a mentor is a great tool. It's not the only tool you need, yeah. but it's definitely a great tool to have. So
I do want to one caveat.
Yeah.
While it's great to look at someone who's older than you for mentorship, not all the time is age a direct correlation to stages of life.
Oh, no.
There are guys in my life that are older than I am, but still in their stage of life far behind me that I am mentoring. And there are people that are younger than me that have been through way more than I have. My brother's younger than me. He has 3 kids. He owns a house. Those are seasons of life that I have not even hit yet.
Sure.
And so, you know, make sure when you vet your mentor and mentoree, you know, make sure that they're Christ-centered, they are focused on giving you sound, godly advice.
Right.
And, you know, that you can have a communication both ways with them. So, you know, that's the only caveat with that.
And make sure they know that you think of them as a mentor.
Yeah.
It's not sneaky time, right? You're like,
2 months in. Surprise.
Right, yeah. Well, I've been using you as a mentor for the last 3 months. You know that? Yes, age is not a correlation to maturity.
No.
So just because you have lived a long life doesn't mean that you are wise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tread carefully in that regard. Our verse in this section is Hebrews 10, 24 through 25.
And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
So, Dana and I just went through about COVID last part of last year, and into the first part of this year. So we haven't been able to attend church in person for a month, which is unusual. Unusual. And so we've had people reach out to us. And that's a great barometer of they're used to seeing us there. They're used to interacting with us there. They're used to worshiping together with us. And so it's good to be missed, I guess. And so when you have someone like that in your life, that's a great thing. So as we end up this segment and to our sponsors, we want to mention our membership platforms, the monthly, yearly, and lifetime. Be sure to check that out and look at some of the resources that we offer there. So we will see you on the other side.
Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved.
Welcome back from the sponsors, guys. We are touching on the third section of the podcast on Loving Like Christ. We've kind of talked about family dynamics so far. We've talked about how we love our brothers in Christ and that kind of like mentorship program and that identity. And so we're kind of wrap up this last section of Loving Like Christ, really focusing on serving others like Christ served others in the Bible. And so, you know, it's difficult. It's easy to put yourself in a situation where you're like, I'm too busy to serve other people.
Sure.
It's easy to do that because we've convinced ourselves of, you know, I'm too busy, I don't have the time, you know, they slighted me that time, well, I'm not going to help them kind of thing. And for a lot of people, serving is a great way to show that you care about them. I know when my wife and I were going through a season where she was very, very sick, she couldn't work, she was basically bedridden for, you know, almost a year time, our Bible study came together multiple times to give us food and some financial support through medical bills, and we just felt really loved in that season with our Bible study. And you know, we didn't ask for that. They did that entirely on their own volition. And you know, whenever someone else comes around, and you know, there's couples in our group that are, you know, pregnant and have children soon, or you know, house stuff, and we are always so thankful for what they did to us that we feel, hey, we want to return the favor,
sure, reciprocate
and reciprocate that in, you know, whatever way that can be, you know, done. And sometimes that's financially, sometimes that's time, sometimes that's, you know, talents kind of thing. But you know, taking steps to really show your love for your fellow man is just, it's so easy to overlook, but, you know, taking the time to really think through the people in your life that you can show through acts of service that you love them.
Sure. As hard as it is to maybe give money to something, mm-hmm. it is easier to give money to something instead of your time. Mm-hmm. Money I can get back, time I cannot. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to see people loving like Jesus, you go to a community service project. Mm. I don't sort through 2,000 pounds of potatoes because I enjoy French fries.
I just love potatoes so much. They're so versatile.
And these are borderline bad, so they got a smell about it. So I think that when you see someone as willing to spend time, serve, give, support in whatever fashion, I really think that helps build that community of brotherhood and sisterhood, and helps us all love more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And identifying those opportunities, like there, if you're like, oh, I just, you know, when I can't find time, you can find time. Mm-hmm. If you can binge watch whatever show on Netflix, you have time. Mm-hmm. We all have time to do that. Opportunities. Your church knows someone that is in need of help, or there are centers or like food banks that need sorting. You know, we just grew up with you kids doing those type of things, mm-hmm. because I wanted you to see there were people not as well off as we were. You know, we were not well off in any regard, but there were people who were far worse position than ourselves of like maybe housing or, you know, food or whatever. And so I think that will change your perspective and make you love someone on a different level when it's done for you. Mm-hmm. You know, as going through Katrina, there were times when we got a suitcase full of underwear and a toothbrush and toothpaste. And you'd have thought we won the lottery.
I distinctly remember at the evacuation centers, they had Happy Meals for the kids.
Yes.
I distinctly remember those. Yeah. and picking the one out that, does this not have cheese? Okay, cool.
Yeah, right. So there are opportunities to serve in our communities, in our churches, and balancing personal responsibilities with the call to serve others. You know, being willing to do that is the first step.
Yeah.
Because if you always have a list of canned excuses, well, you can't. Mm-hmm. That's between you and the Lord.
Yeah.
And that person who's asking for help may actually need it, but God sees our heart in that situation and knows whether we are making that up or actually busy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know that my wife joined she's part of the choir, but she's also part of the music team at church. And since joining it, you know, she's definitely shown more love towards those people around her because she's spending time serving. And I think it's interesting that something, I don't want to say simple because it's not simple. She spent a lot of time practicing, but something that we as the viewer would see, oh, you're just up there saying kind of thing, can have such a profound effect on our hearts.
Sure.
Whether it's singing on stage, the guys that are behind the screens clicking the space bar to change the slide, or even just the person out front shaking hands. You know, there's a reason we're called to do that throughout the Bible repeatedly, and it's because it molds our hearts to be more like Christ.
Sure, man. We've always served where you and Noah were. Mm-hmm. If you were in the kids section and daycare and, you know, whatever, I've put on wigs and dressed up in the drama thing and made a fool of myself in Sunday school classes. And we spent time coaching in rec league, basketball, basketball, baseball, and soccer.
Soccer, yes.
Two of those three, I have zero interest in. basketball is awesome. Football is my favorite, but I have zero interest in the other two.
Yeah.
But as I told someone very early on, I'm not a, say, we're not soccer players who happen to be Christians. We're Christians who happen to be soccer players, right? Yeah. And so if you're there, and I'm looking right at you, sideline parent, I'm looking right at you, yelling at the ref, living through your kids because you couldn't play anymore, whatever. This, many of these things are about developing relationships. And so I think you see this with teachers a lot too, that we got a chance to coach a lot of kids. And as they grow up, we see them go from, you know, like 8-year-olds to getting married, having kids of their own. There's something really cool about that. And so you never get that blessing if you don't take part in serving and getting to where you love others like Christ.
Yeah, and we all have a talent to share too. I want to make that very clear here that no one, trust me, no one wants to hear me singing up on that stage on Sunday. I will stay down in my pew and sing like nobody's business, but up on that stage, no one wants, people tolerate me singing Happy Birthday, and that's about it. But we all have a talent that we can bring to that table, whether it is teaching little ones, running Bible studies, you know, singing, tech, welcoming. There is something that the Lord has blessed you with a spiritual gift that you can use in some capacity, whether it's at church, rec leagues, ministry, whatever the case may be, even in your neighborhood.
Right.
And so really it's up to you to use that discerning eye to try to find out where your talents can really be used to its best ability to serve those around you.
Right. And if you go to church and you never even think about that, you're like, I'm going to go here, and I'm kind of going to zone out, and then I'm going to leave and walk to my car.
And think about lunch.
And that is, boy, that's worship in the worst sense, in the sense of you're not getting any out of that.
Yeah.
It's almost like, why are you going to service? You know, because you're missing out on so much. And so our verse, I think, captures that. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So I hope that this podcast and the last one resonate and encourage and challenge everyone listening to it to start working on praying about and growing to love others more like Christ. So as we end with our podcast, always, if you're going to be something, be uncommon.